Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. You see the jacket. He does a great job covering the NFL draft. Matt, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for the compliment. More so, this was just the only time I could get in here. There was no best for last. I know the truth. Yeah. You guys have had a great guest. I saw your Twitter account, man. You guys are getting like the best of the best with the draft world. So
we're doing our best awesome. Here. And I think it's perfect because we just had John come on and I feel like there's like two halves of the Leonard Fournette crowd. You have some people that are like down in athleticism and they worry about him. And I don't know, you're on the opposite end of the spectrum,
I
right?
Love the
you
kid.
Love Leonard
yeah,
Fournette.
Love the
so
kid.
Tell Giant fans why Leonard Fournette is a generational running back.
I know everybody's going to point to the vertical jump. I don't need to see him jump over people because I've seen him run over them and through them. Like, let him run through the wall at the combine. He'll do that all day. Listen,
they don't have that test yet.
Right, yet. Yeah, they should for certain guys. I think we get too caught up in the combine and the testing numbers and, you know, it's always more about the actual film. And I think Leonard Fournette is a great running back with, he doesn't have the best vision, but he's able to create holes with his power, with his speed, his acceleration, what he does down the field. You see a guy who doesn't decelerate. Like, he did 30 yards, 40 yards, he's still going strong. You could watch him, you know, that running against Auburn where he's like carrying guys on his back. Like, he brings that to the table. So I know Giants fans want him there at 23, and John is giving you guys some false hope, but
false being the opportune.
He's going to be a top 6 or 7 pick. And that's if there's a run on quarterbacks, you know, so he is truly, I feel like Myles Garrett and Leonard Fournette are both generational talents. And at this time of year, like a good way to get noticed is to say those guys aren't good. Let me tell you, they're really good.
I want to go back to what you just said a second ago about the quarterbacks, because everybody seems to have those 3 or 4 guys high up top. Where do you really believe they are going to land in the first round, and will they push people down, or are we going to get to draft day and suddenly say, wow, these guys are all falling like that ESPN stone that they usually have when the camera's in the living room and they're dropping guys?
Yeah. No, I think they're going to go early. A couple of them will. And it happens every year. Like, it's like, you know, when you don't have a date to prom and you start to get close to that dance and you start, well, who's the prettiest girl that does have a date? That's what the draft is with quarterbacks. You're just waiting. Okay, who's the prettiest girl? Because we got to get one.
And there are some desperate teams.
And there are. And I've already had texted in, man, DeShone Kizer interviews well. He's impressive. I'm like, yo, you guys were trashing him 2 weeks ago, you know? And so it's like, you will. The tide will start to turn. It's so predictable, you know? Mel Kiper's going to be on TV in a couple weeks talking about, you know, these quarterbacks are rising. And you know, the rest of us draft guys going to be, we're going to fall to the same trap. But they might not belong as top 5 picks, but they're going to go early because of the needs, you know? Cleveland needs one, San Francisco needs one, Chicago needs one, Jacksonville needs one, the Jets need one, like the Titans could trade out of 5, the Texans, you know, the Broncos, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks that they're, because of the import of that position, they're going to go early.
And you can thank the Browns for that. Someone over there was leaking about Trubisky, maybe picking him over Myles Garrett, things like that, which I think is a little bonkos.
I think there are a lot of teams hoping or praying that happens so that they can get Myles Garrett.
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers being the first on that list.
John Lynch is probably starting that rumor, just hoping that it'll catch on, yeah.
How about where the Giants pick at 23? Are you under the same impression as most others that when the Giants get there at 22, the best players on the board will probably be either at corner or defensive end based on this draft class, or maybe even a tight end if either Howard or Njoku fall that spot?
Yeah, I think that's a great look, especially like let's go with the premise that the quarterback's going to go early. That's going to push someone down. So
right.
This corner class is so deep, like 6 or 7 deep in the first round. So you could get a quality player there. Now, the tight end position with Howard and Njoku, I think they're top 15 players, but because of the nature of the position, they might fall a little bit.
What chance do you think there is that both those guys are off the board inside the first 20 picks?
I would say a high chance, like 75%.
Wow,
probably,
okay.
Just because they're freak athletes. And it's not a good receiver class, right? So we have Mike Williams and Corey Davis, excuse me. So they're going to go pretty early. But then those other teams that need help in the passing game, like, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they need another pass catcher. It wouldn't surprise me if they say, okay, we don't love these receivers. Let's go get a tight end.
And isn't it funny? Because usually in the draft, when you start talking about guys who are moving up and creeping into that first round or just going high in the first round, it's usually the receivers. This year, it's the tight ends everybody's getting all excited about.
Yeah, because they run like receivers. They look like receivers. You know, O.J. Howard is. And what's crazy about both of these guys is they're really good blockers, too. So they are true 3-down players. They fit in this, you know, pro-style offense. You could put them in line. You could put them in the backfield. You could flex them out. They can really do everything for you because of their athleticism.
So maybe even the first round, you have a couple positions you like in the late 20s. What positions do you think start to maybe rise to the top of the crop in, say, the second, third, and fourth rounds? Or maybe there's, you know, those high-end guys, but you get to the middle rounds, you're going to find some values there and some guys that can contribute.
That's where I like the receiver value, is in the second round where guys like Cooper Kupp and Zay Jones, and you start to see some of that value. You know, Chris Godwin from Penn State, of guys who could definitely, you know, get in there and you know, maybe they have a flaw that keeps them out of round one, but they're still really good players. And it's funny because when I make lists or mock drafts, it's like there are 40 guys I want to put a first-round grade on this year because there's so many good players. So we're going to see a lot of talent. The safety position's deep. I think there could be a ton of value there in round two. You know, a guy like Jabril Peppers, he could be there in round two. Buda Baker from Washington could slip. Justin Evans from Texas A&M could slip. So just because of how much talent there is in this class, if you're picking at the top of round two, you're getting another first-round pick.
I want to follow up real quick. I got a fan sending names of guys who want me to ask you about it. Two wide receivers that could be mid-round picks. Malachi Dupree out of LSU. And then I'm going to screw this up. Amba Edetowo out of Syracuse. Did I get it?
Yeah, you got it. So Edetowo is a weird kid because he was at Maryland with Syracuse. He's really slow. So I think that's going to be the biggest issue.
Probably not a great trait for a wide receiver, by the way.
Not a great trait. And he oddly had a lot of drops at Maryland, but he went to Syracuse, and the drops kind of went away. So I'm not the biggest fan of his. Malachi Dupree, on the other hand, just no production in college. And you could point to the quarterback situation there, but a lot of speed. You know, this is a good event for him. I think he'll do really well here.
I want to ask you about a Jersey guy who you just mentioned before in passing, but I don't want to gloss it over because everyone back home is going to want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Jabril Peppers, who so many people think can play like five different positions in the NFL. Where are you projecting him?
Man, I wish he could play running back. I would love to project him
there. I've heard some people say that.
You're the third person to say
that
to us this
weekend.
He's
so good with the ball in his hand. So he's 213 right now, so he's like a little heavy to be a safety. He's a little light to be a linebacker. I think what I tweeted this morning, and a lot of people jumped on me about it, was I was actually encouraged that he was 213 because if he's trying to play linebacker, he's gaining weight. He played at 200 pounds, so now he's 213. That tells me he could probably get to 225. But the thing I like about Jabril, he's a great athlete, and he's had success at every level. So he's more of a guy you're going to have to mold because he's not a corner. He's not a true safety. He's not a true linebacker. But as defenses get smaller and more versatile and they look for more of those hybrid roles, year one, if he comes in built like a safety like he was at Michigan, year one, he could be a great return man for you at a minimum. And you can kind of develop him into a player that could play safety for you, either free or strong safety or nickel linebacker. But he's just not a plug-and-play guy, but he is someone who has the athleticism to be developed into a spot.
Could he be a receiver?
I don't know. Maybe. He's a little short would be the thing for a receiver, so he'd have to play in the slot. But he is so shifty with the ball in his hands. But, you know, when he was coming out of Jersey, he didn't want to play running back. You know, he played Michigan. I'm not playing running back. So I would love to talk to him and just say, where do you want to play, and are you going to make that an issue? Because we've heard guys in the past, Shaq Thompson, I'm a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman, I'm a linebacker. Excuse me, Tevin Smith said he was a linebacker.
Right.
Sua Cravens, you know, came out and said, I'm a linebacker. Now he's playing safety. So it's not like, you know, you never get a great feel for these kids, but it's important to ask them, where do you see yourself playing in the NFL, and are you going to make that an issue?
It's funny, you know, you say Telvin Smith, and, you know, that was, what, 2 or 3 years ago now? And that's when people are like, a 220-pound linebacker, how are you going to do that? Now you got a million 225-pound linebackers coming out. It's amazing.
Deion Jones could have been rookie of the year, and he played at, like, 225.
I know.
So I'm not too worried about it anymore.
Can Preppers cover tight ends? Because that is such an important spot now that NFL teams have to find.
I think he can. He's going to have to learn how to flip his hips a little bit, but the athleticism is there. You know, like, what I don't know if he can do is, and I would never want to put him in a situation where he has to beat a guard to the running back, because he's not going to be able to run through blockers. But if you get him on the field, let him play in space, I think he can be a pretty electric guy.
Good stuff. All right, now, thank you, New Jersey guys.
Yeah.
I know they've been asking about him now for, even though the Giants don't really need a safety,
right,
at least we don't think so. So many people have been talking about
him. Could use a linebacker, though.
Yeah.
You don't draft those in the first round for the Giants, though. That's, Jerry Reese doesn't do that.
Is Peppers going to be a first-round pick?
I would think that he is a late first-round pick when it's all said and done, just because of the upside that he brings.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and again, the special teams quotient is also off the mark.
Yeah.
I mean, he's crazy.
He's a great returner. That's where his best value is immediately.
All right, I want to ask you about, go back to the running backs. We've been asking a lot of our guys about running backs. And we think, at least John and I think we're on the same page with this whole thing that the Giants need an earth, wind, and fire combination in their backfield, which means a power back to supplement Paul Perkins.
Yeah.
In your mind, where can they get one second, third, fourth round? Because you're not going to draft one in the first round because Fournette's not going to be there.
Right. No matter how short his vertical jump was, he's not going to be there. the power backs that I like in this class, I like Samaje Perine from Oklahoma. He's probably a third-round guy.
You just made him very happy,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, gosh, that kid, he's put together. James Conner at Pitt is, you know, with him, you've got the cancer thing that's scary. So he might be a, you know, fifth, sixth-round pick. Jamal Williams is a guy a lot of my colleagues on Twitter like. Jamal Williams, I'm not as high on him. I think he's more of a mid-round back just because he doesn't have a lot of speed. But if you're drafting him for a role, because I like Paul Perkins a lot, so if you're drafting a complement to that, then someone like that makes a lot more sense.
Interesting. How about the tackle class?
It's just bad.
That's what everyone said to us.
I don't know if they've used that word, but lackluster, yeah. Maybe going downhill.
I was
going
to use a different word, but I didn't know what okay. The censoring was. You know,
it's certainly not as spectacular as some wanted to believe a month or two ago. Let's put it that way.
You know, it's probably not as bad as some people are making it out to be right now either. I think, you know, Garrett Bowles is an interesting kid. He's going to be 25 as a rookie.
Is he your top guy?
Year. He's my top guy. He's going to look great here. Ryan Ramczyk's a good player. They both only started 1 year at D1 football. That's a concern for me. Cam Robinson, there's not a great track record of Alabama offensive linemen, so that's an issue. There are some off-field things to think about with him. Weight has been a problem, so I think he might be a guard or right tackle in the pros. But, you know, Forrest Lamp might be the best offensive lineman in the class, probably not getting enough love because people thought he was a little short or a little short-armed. I watched him shut down 3 first-round picks from Alabama in a game, so I'm not worried about how long his arms are. He's a really good player. He might be a right guard, but he could be a Zach Martin type that's a Pro Bowler right away.
Which one of those tackles do you think has the best chance to step in and be a left tackle, either right away or at some point, Ramczyk or Bowles?
I think Bowles does. And I love Garrett Bowles because he plays with a mean streak. Like, the biggest knock on him is that he's a little bit old. But, you know, I think with team building, if you draft a guy in the first round, you only worry about the first 5 years. He would be 30 at the end of his first contract. That's fine. You know, he can play.
Right. Especially for an offensive lineman.
It's not like he's a running back. So I'm not as worried about it with Bowles. And what I love about the kid, in August, he stepped on the University of Utah campus and became the starting left tackle. And that's a good football school. Like, that's a good program. So the ability to adapt and transition, and he got better throughout the season. Like, you saw improvement from him week to week to week. So I really like his upside. I know he's training with Joe Staley, and I'm a big Joe Staley fan, and they are very similar. Guys who are a little bit light, but very, very mean and very physical.
One other name that Mike Farmer, one of our listeners, wanted me to ask about, Paul, real quick. He's a Kentucky alum, so he's biased, and he's a lunatic. But he wanted me to make sure I asked you about John Toth, their center.
Yeah, you know, I get asked about him a lot. I think he's probably a late-round guy, but he will play in the NFL. Like, he does have that ability. I think this will be big for him, wanting to see, you know, the hips and the feet as well. How does he shadow? And how does he mirror? That's so important for centers. You know, you don't have to be the strongest, biggest guy in the world, but just how well do you keep up with what's in front of you? So I think he'd be great, especially for a zone scheme where he's not asked to just manhandle nose tackles on his own. You know, somewhere like San Francisco in the late round with Kyle Shanahan and how he likes to move people around would be a great fit.
I got one other versatile guy I want to ask you about. You know who it's going to be? McCaffrey.
I love the kid.
What kind of role is he going to have in the NFL, and do you think he could be there at 23 for the Giants? We had one of our experts earlier today say he should be their pick.
I think he will be there, and I would dance for that pick because I think, you know, what will his role be? I know what his role should be, and he should be a three-down player because he has inside-outside vision. He's quick. He catches the ball very well. He's tougher than people give him credit for, so I hear people say, oh, he's a third-down back. I don't think that's true. I think he's a guy you want to get the ball to 20 times a game, 22 times a game, and just be creative with how you use him. So if Ben McAdoo wants to commit to, okay, we're going to get this guy touches and we're going to let him operate in space, that would be great. Natural fits for him, Kansas City, I think would be a great fit because Andy Reid has experience with guys like that.
Right.
I think Seattle, they would have to change their mentality a little bit because they've been such a power run team. But him and Russell Wilson together in the backfield would be a pretty beautiful thing.
Can Njoku develop into enough of a blocker to be a consistent three-down player as a, not a dominant run blocker, but a guy that's good enough that gets in the way to help your running
game? Yeah, I actually think he's a pretty good run blocker now. Like, he's not O.J. Howard, but he's good enough, like you said. Like, he's, you know, I remember Vernon Davis coming out of Maryland and thinking, God, this guy's an athlete, but he can't block to save his life. And he became one of the best blocking tight ends in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And with Njoku, I see the same kind of athleticism where And he is a worker. This isn't an Eric Ebron where he's just going to show up and want to catch passes in space. Like, Njoku will line up. He played a lot on the line at Miami. I'm not worried about if he has the want to. I think he's got the wiring to be a good blocker.
All right, I got one, I don't want to say negative, but who's going to be the biggest surprise drop in the first round? Because every year somebody gets some in shoes.
Yeah, I think it's Dalvin Cook. And that has nothing to do with, he's not testing well so far today. And
is
we'll
he going to 23?
Put it all together.
That's surprising. A lot of people thought he was going to test off the charts,
he
right?
He ran a 4.50 at 210
pounds. Did he really?
Pounds. That's not great for him. And he verticaled, I think it was 30 and a half inches. That's not good for him either. And so the reason I say, I said this last week on radio, I thought he could drop because the off-field issues, there's a weird pattern there of problems for him. He's had four or five run-ins since high school. He's had shoulder surgeries. He's had hamstring issues, and he has fumble problems, and now you're not testing well. I think that might end up being the least talked about story of this whole draft season, is that Dalvin Cook has probably been overrated by myself and a lot of people.
Who's been underrated?
Leonard Fournette. Underrated. I think guys like Solomon Thomas have been a little underrated, and you're starting to see the correction for that now. Mike Williams from Clemson has probably been underrated because he's not the fastest guy, but he's just a big physical wide receiver.
Is he your top wideout
over
Corey Davis?
He's my top wideout, yeah. Or Mike Williams is right above Corey Davis for me right now, so. Okay. Two very, very good receivers, but I tend to go for the more physical guy.
How do you separate the corners at the top of the class?
Because
there's so many good ones.
And it's so much about corner anymore. It's about scheme fit. So for like a press coverage scheme, I like Quincy Wilson. For, you know, if you're going to play off and attack a little bit more, I like Marshon Lattimore because he has better ball skills. He's a little quicker to flip those hips and run. So it just becomes a – that's probably the hardest part about my job is you try to make a big board, you know, top 400 players, but – if you're a team like Seattle or, you know, San Francisco or Jacksonville, you're going to look for different things. So your number one corner might be my number six corner, but he fits your scheme a little bit better.
I'm going to have a little fun with you. My final question. We still have time?
Of course. Go ahead.
The most biggest sleeper of the quarterbacks, a Prescott or a Brady, who's going to go 4, 5, 6, all the way at the bottom of the draft, and the guy's going to wind up being a starter in the NFL someday.
Keep in mind, those guys show up once every 10 years, so good luck, Matt.
If I had to bet on a late-round guy, it'd be Cooper Rush from Central Michigan. I think he's a fun player to watch. He has the tools, like the poise is there. But, you know, this quarterback class, everyone talks about, oh, it's not very good. It's actually really deep. There's just not that Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota or Andrew
Luck. Lot of separation.
A lot of separation, a lot of tiers. But, if we're going deep dive on quarterbacks, Cooper Rush will be the guy I'll go with.
All right, Matt, give me your prediction for 23, and you will be able to change it when we have you on again before the draft. Early pick, pre-combine, or mid-combine.
This is tough. You know what? I'll go with Dalvin Cook. I think he falls to 23 and is the pick for the Giants.
Wow. We have one listener that loves Dalvin Cook. You just made his day.
Well, I probably ruined his day about 30 seconds ago before talking about it. So I made it up to you.
No, because you said he might be there.
Yeah, he might be there. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Matt, great stuff. We
Good
appreciate
to see you guys
it. Thanks
Enjoyed
so much.
It, man. Thank you.
Thanks.